You are listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Break. Hey, entrepreneur, welcome back to the show. If you know me, and you know me well, I love talking about money, and I love having those harder conversations, especially around money and money mindset and what triggers us, what holds us back, and everything else when we're going towards our big unrealistic goals. So today, I actually have a special guest on that speaks a lot around money mindset and money emotional intelligence. Now, she's got some really, really cool stuff, really cool content. If you go and check her out on Twitter or even on Instagram, she's always sharing some really cool little tidbits. I love seeing them, and I know that I wanted to have a conversation with her to bring a new perspective on quite a few things, because I can talk about it a lot, but sometimes it's an echo chamber and it's cool to get a whole new perspective. So Kira really is going to bring some value today, and I feel like it might challenge you a little bit with your mindset, and it's going to give you a lot of questions and maybe open up a can of worms, but it's all for the good. We're working on our money mindset so we can easy attract more opportunities and more wealth into our lives so we can be better entrepreneurs and better serve our community. Now, before we get into today's episode, don't forget, I'm giving away a one-on-one mentoring session every single month this year, actually, to one lucky winner that leaves a review to this podcast. So if you haven't done so yet, make sure you go do that. And then I will be sending a DM to the one lucky winner, and we'll jump on a 45-minute call, and we can dive into literally anything that you want, wherever you're having a block in your business. So I won't waste any more time. Let's get into today's episode. I am always talking about money. I'm always talking about success and all the things that helps us become the entrepreneurs that we want to become. And lately, I actually been scrolling through and seeing some really cool reels and really cool people doing some cool stuff on social media. And one that stopped me not too long ago was from Kira, and it was about money mindset. And as soon as I seen it, I was like, I need to have a conversation with Kira. We need to have her on the podcast. So we've got her here today. Welcome, Kira. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks. I'm very excited to be here. And conversations about money and success are always a good topic. So can't wait to dive in.
I think so as well. And I think what's really cool is there's not many people that talk about it, but then it's really cool when you find someone that does talk about it, we can have different perspectives on the same thing. So I'm really excited today to hear some new perspectives that I personally don't just, you know, loop inside my own head over and over and over.
For sure. We'll be definitely talking about subconscious patterns and, you know, some of the patterns that we may not even be aware of, oftentimes stemming from childhood. So we're going to deal with all the things in the past, all the things in the present, and, you know, everything that will lead to the future success and the wealth that you would like to create.
Awesome. Okay. So today we're talking about breaking through your income glass ceiling, three subconscious upper limits that prevent more wealth. Now, you actually specialize in hypnosis as well.
Yes.
As, yeah, teaching financial stuff and money mindset.
Yes. So specifically when we look at the hypnosis part of what I do, we are looking at the three upper limits. So what essentially happens is that when people generate success, there are three limits that tend to create a glass ceiling where you feel like you may be plateauing, you feel that you can't quite reach the next level, you know all the strategies and everything that you need to do. It's kind of this feeling of, I know what I need to do, but for some reason, something feels like it's in the way. This is usually a subconscious block that's coming to play. And typically what happens is as you move towards more money, more success, more visibility, all of those things that we want to move towards, there is something that you feel is holding you back. And you'll know that this is coming up for you if you experience, you know, anxiety spirals, procrastination, kind of these like little self-sabotaging patterns where you're kind of wondering, like, it's frustrating because you know you're capable of so much more, but you're just like, why can't I break through?
That's interesting. So like, tell me more about the hypnosis part of this. Is this like to help people with the subconscious when it comes to like, you know, they're on the path, they're learning all the things, they're signing up to all the courses, they're hearing all the coaches, they're doing everything that they think is in their power. But then always we neglect something that we haven't worked on in the past that's shaped us to who we are today. And it's something holding us back.
Yeah. So when we think about hypnosis and hypnotherapy, what usually comes to mind for most people is, you know, the clock watch. You're getting very sleepy, feeling like you're going to black out or clucking like a chicken on stage. And that's stage hypnosis, right? And so we want to kind of debunk that myth. And when we're looking at hypnotherapy, it's a really powerful transformational tool where we are looking at changing the neuroplasticity of your mind. So like, what does that actually even mean in English? And we are looking at working at the subconscious mind, which is 95% of your mind, right? So the 5% of the logical thinking, the conscious thought, the rational decision-making in the day-to-day is 5%. And then the other 95% makes up your identity, right? How you see yourself, which then translates into thoughts, translates into emotions. And your emotional state, if positive, is going to lead in one very different direction than if it's negative. Negative states typically lead to feeling stuck, not moving forward. Fear is really the thing that holds people back the most, but along with, you know, guilt and shame and all those other quote unquote negative emotions. And there's nothing wrong with negative emotions. We are human. We're meant to experience them. So when we look at your life, right? And you know, you always hear, you're the only one getting in your way, right? We hear that all the time, but it's not really you. It's the limiting beliefs that were placed on you growing up from parents, people who are your primary caretakers, society, around success, around money, even around love, right? Everything that you have in your life. And you'll have a good indication of what those beliefs are if you take a good look now at what you have in life. And so when we look at these specific upper limit blocks with the entrepreneurs I work with, scaling to 7, 8, 9 figures, we're really looking at when you're moving towards what you think that you want consciously with the 5% of your mind. There's usually a block around self-worth, a block around sacrifice, and a block around safety. These are the three upper limits. And before we actually even get into that, what we need to do is we need to change the disempowering beliefs, the limiting thoughts that were placed on you or that you learned in childhood from the primary ages of 0 to 7, which now determine what you believe about money, what you believe about success, what you believe about love, and again, what you're creating in your current reality. And changing anything that's disempowered, that's painful, that's consequential to something that is either neutral or positive, which means that you're, you know, if you're neutral, positive towards something, you're more likely to move forward versus feeling stuck. So we want to get you out of stuck states. And, you know, we can go in so many different directions, but moving out of stuck states to empowered, positive, forward moving states so that you are actively moving towards your goals and getting the subconscious mind and the conscious mind in alignment so that you can move towards them faster.
Well, you know, so often people talk about like nature and nurture, and it's like, is someone that's really successful, it's like trying to debunk, is it nature or is it nurture? Is it the way that they grew up, or is it just, you know, they're in their personality? Would you say a lot of really successful people that you see, they're always sort of moving towards like maybe having, well, they had different beliefs when they were growing up, and then maybe they are empowered now to make the choice to work through those beliefs. And then maybe that has unlocked a whole new level that a lot of other people just don't know how to get there.
Yeah. So typically what I find, especially at past the 7-figure mark, 8 figures, even moving towards 9 figures, what happens is that these people have generated crazy levels of success, right? They pretty much have everything that they could have possibly imagined wanting in their life. But yet they still feel as though they are not that happy. They feel unfulfilled. They feel unbelievable pressure to sustain this level of success. And they're like, I thought I would be happier at this point. I thought I would have achieved everything. I would have felt differently about myself. And they begin to understand that it's not about the money or the success. That is only a byproduct of their identity. But for them, it actually is their identity. So it's kind of untangling all of that and, you know, getting to the root of why they are feeling anxious or why they are feeling overwhelmed or constantly stressed out, even though they quote unquote have everything. So it gets to a point where they're like, okay, I've done it all, but what's left now? Oh, actually being happy. And to be honest, when we start to unravel, you know, all of the survival patterns that are underlaying all of that stress and anxiety, that prevent them from having happiness, they actually reach new levels of success easier and faster, because their brain, right? Our brain has a very limited capacity, about 120 bits per second that we can process information. We're getting inundated with billions, right? So, or actually millions, many millions. So when we think about that, our brain can process a very small amount of information, and our brain is doing two things, actually. Number one, it is looking out for danger, right? It's a prediction machine. How do we keep Kira and Jai safe, right? How do we do that? And we do that by predicting the past into the future, but also looking out for danger. But, you know, when we're thinking of our day-to-day lives as entrepreneurs, how do we avoid rejection? How do we avoid failure? How do we avoid bankruptcy? Looking at all of the ways that we can survive. The other thing too is that when your brain is actively feeling anxious, overwhelmed, stressed out by money, all of those states, again, those are survival states as well. There's very little space for, you know, capacity for, you know, creativity and flow and, you know, all of those good things that are required for like problem solving and like high quality decision making. So again, with that limited capacity, if it's mostly in survival states, we have very little space for all of those intangible resources, what I call mindset currency, that allow for sustainability, that allow for next level performance in entrepreneurs to be created. And, you know, when we can get rid of those survival states and increase your baseline state, so you're feeling neutral, calm, it's like anything, it doesn't matter if it's business. But, you know, if you're anxious and overwhelmed in scarcity, those decisions will never be as good as ones that, you know, you're calm and clear, you can see everything, you know, have multiple perspectives, those decisions will always be better. So we want to get you into those states more commonly, increase your baseline so that you can then, you know, your brain's capacity is not dealing with the survival, it's dealing with creativity, problem solving, innovation, focus, motivation, flow. And that's really what gives people an edge.
I want to be in that state.
You've been in many of those states, right? When we talk about hypnosis, right? Getting lost in hours of work. I'm sure you find that in your creative process as an entrepreneur, even like, you know, getting lost in a really good book or driving on the highway and missing your stop. This is what most people don't realize. We can access those theta brainwave states where our subconscious is more open to suggestions so that we start changing, again, the neuroplasticity of our mind to change and rewire the way that we think about ourselves, what we believe is available in the world. So again, we can move ourselves in a forward, very productive and empowered way.
You know, it's really interesting. I think so often I get impatient and I try and force a decision or force something. And when I do that, it results in a negative effect for a lot of different reasons. And then when I make a good decision, it's usually like I usually take time off every like maybe 6 months, and I'll just go for a walk over a weekend and just go camping by myself, no distractions. And I get to a point where I get really bored, and then that space, then I start thinking about new things. Then I get really excited and energized, and then I come up with new ideas that I never would have thought of before. And when I come back, yes, I always make these really good decisions that jumps my business and myself so far forward. And I tell people this all the time, and people are like, yeah, it's good for you because you've got the time, but I'm just busy and I'm hustling and I'm doing it my way, right? But I see when people are busy and they're always hustling, like they will always will hustle and be busy because they will never yes. find the space to take themselves to a whole nother level, which is really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's also a survival state too. So, you know, when we talk about survival, people are like, what do you mean by survival, right? And, you know, we'll talk about the money and all that good stuff. But, you know, when we grow up in society, we are celebrated as children when we're achieving, right? When we come yes. first, when we get good grades, when we are being a good child, right? You know, not screaming at the grocery store. We're celebrated, we're loved, we're seen, especially for myself with immigrant parents. There was no emotional expression. Like I would always see like my Caucasian friends, like I would be like, oh, I wish like my family was like the Brady Bunch, right? But I didn't have that. I only ever had expression and love and nurture when I was like literally succeeding in life.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't, you know, I would get yelled at, I would face criticism, comparison with my sisters, comparison with other children. And, you know, it's a very painful experience. And like, as a child, you don't know anything better. You're like, I don't want to feel that again. It's horrible, right? And so we learn, right? This is a very, like, this is one of the biggest validation patterns, like biggest subconscious problems I see. Doesn't matter if you're just starting your business, it could be in your 9 to 5. Doesn't matter if you're like generating literally like 8, 9 figures. I see this in my clients then too. But it's this feeling that, okay, so, you know, if I'm not perfect, if I'm not achieving, there's pain and consequence. So, you know, as a child, you're like, I want to always be achieving. I want to be loved and seen, but I have to act a certain way. I have to do a certain thing. And we find safety in the validation, right? Which is why, you know, we always then constantly try and seek it. And you'll know this, like, when you see successful people and they're like, it never feels enough. Like, I literally had a client last week tell me they made $1 million last week in the 7 days, but where's the next, right? It's $1 million. Okay. That's a lot of money. Okay. And, you know, what is that? Right. But it's the feeling that they need the milestone, right? The next milestone, the next big number.
So it's like the next endorphin hit. And it's also sort of like the next validation, the dopamine.
Exactly. Hit. Because in that little moment, that island where you get the approval from your loved ones, your family, you feel safe again. Yes. You feel safe, you feel seen, because you're seeking that old pattern that you learned back in childhood. But then it dissolves because it's outside of you. It's not actually anchored into anything. And then you have to constantly chase more and more and more. So no matter what you create, it never feels enough. So we have to reprogram when you feel safe, not linked to validation, right? Money and success is not your identity. And you'll know that it is, and you have this subconscious problem if it never feels like enough and you're always feeling anxious and worried. So this is the thing that we need to look at reprogramming again, getting you out of survival so that we can get you into that neutral baseline state where you feel safe, right? Regulated nervous system, which is stemming from a regulated mindset. And then again, you can access all of those creative, amazing states where like gems drop in and it's flow and, you know, you're taking your business to the next level.
Actually having fun. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like actually just being happy.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, and that's, you know, what everyone strives for.
Yeah. And I always say, like, I'm sure you've noticed this. I know you do some coaching programs and you work with 7 and 8 figure, you know, entrepreneurs are doing really cool things. So I work with a lot of entrepreneurs that are making like their first 6 figures. And what's really interesting over the last 3 years of my online coaching, I've had a lot, like thousands of people come through, and there's a clear distinction to those that like succeed to those that really struggle. And what it is I notice the ones that succeed, they find happiness before they find the success. And the ones that really struggle are looking for the success. So in turn, that turns into happiness. And you see it physically when someone's just like, man, it didn't work out this week, but I'm like, I'm really excited. I'm challenged. I'm going to show up on social media. I'm going to do this. I'm going to launch that. I'm going to fix this. And they're just having a good time. They attract everybody into their ecosystem, like, you know, like the sun. And so they're attracting the right clients. They're attracting help from other people. They're attracting family. They're attracting conversations and so many different things. And I'm like, you're going to get huge success just because you're showing up and you're having fun.
Yes. And to your point, that's a huge component of the subconscious where the identity is there, right? It's not all believe it when I see it, right? Which is most people where they need the evidence. And it's normal. Your brain wants evidence. It wants to know that it's safe to move forward, right? It's logical. But for the people that really find success, and I completely agree with you.
That's before they see it.
Yeah. I'll believe it. I'll be it. And then I'll see it. Right. And you have to shift that identity, and your identity is your subconscious, like literally the 95% of your mind that determines your behaviors, and your behaviors are what create your reality.
Yeah,
so I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, I think all the time, anyone is always looking for patterns in success. Like we do this because you look around, you go like, why is that person doing this or that? Or how do they get there? And then when you start like identifying patterns, you can start seeing like common threads all the time. It's like, wow, this person went through this or this person did that. And even like when I first started on my journey of self-help and people that were super successful, the common thread that I seen at my level was, these people read a lot of books. That was like what I seen. And so I started reading books, and actually I got a lot of success because I read books, and I was like, well, that actually makes sense. You know, so I think it's really cool that you can sort of see those patterns, and then you can go in and put yourself in and and give yourself the best chance possible for the success that you're looking for.
Absolutely. And one of the other patterns that I notice as well, of course, there's a lot of the, you know, strategy happens, then the mindset component happens so that we can actually execute the strategy and have the resilience to, you know, withstand challenges and rejection and failure. That's a big one that, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs have to overcome because we live in a society of instant gratification. I mean, like, if you don't hit it once, you failed and it's the end of the world. And it's like, well, that's simply not true. But the other point of our conversation that we, you know, started with is talking about like money, emotional intelligence, right? And this is one of the bigger things that is a harder thing to reprogram because when we think about money, although everyone is like, I want more of it, a lot of the time it's really laced with fear or shame or guilt. You know, I think about even my parents, right? They told me, save every dollar that you make. And, you know, you want to make sure you set yourself up for success. And even though like saving is great, the intention behind saving was fearful. Like I was very scared that I would like end up on the street, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when we look at that, or, you know, when you have a big grocery bill at Whole Foods or something, and, you know, for the first time, and then you see the, you know, register $300 and your heart drops and you're like about to put your credit card down and you're like feeling like you're having an anxiety attack. You know, why is that? Like, it's just a number and you're getting groceries to fuel your body and you're tapping a card on a machine, but it's creating this like amygdala hijack, right? Where you're like feeling like it's the end of the world. So when we think about that, you know, growing up, we hear that money is hard to come by, right? That it's, or that it's actually bad, right? Like, you know, it'll make you greedy. It will change you. The rich take from the poor. Money doesn't grow on trees. We've all heard these stories. And even though logically as adults, like we know, you know, of course, money doesn't technically grow on trees. We have this conditioning that like it's hard to come by or that it will make you a bad person, right? That people will see you differently, that you'll essentially be rejected from the tribe because like if you're a bad person, like everyone wants to just be loved deep down, right? This is what we want as humans. And so growing up, if you find that you have a hard time holding on to money, right? You overspend, you're overly generous. And these are okay things to do, like if you like spend money on things that you enjoy, right? You know, experiences, even luxury goods, you know, high quality groceries, whatever it is, and you're overly generous. Like generous is great, but if you look at the pattern behind it, like I've had people lose their first 7 figures from being quote unquote overly generous, but deep inside the story behind it was that, you know, you didn't really deserve that, right? You didn't work that hard to get it. You have to always help the people that are less fortunate than you. Don't be too greedy. Don't have too much. You know, always take care of the people. So they always did it from guilt and fear and shame and then literally lost their first million. Right. So there are these deeper stories running beneath, right? A lot of the times, you know, it's really two things. Like you either think that money's going to make you a bad person, right? And then you'll be rejected by the people you love the most. You'll be judged, whatever the story is. Or the other thing is that money is hard to come by. So it has to be this like struggle. And it doesn't mean that you don't work hard. It doesn't mean that there aren't challenges. Like entrepreneurship is difficult, right? But it's that you have to like constantly kill yourself. And if you didn't work hard for it, you didn't deserve it. And it can't come easy, right? So you find all these ways to self-sabotage. So when we look at that, this is going to impact how you behave around money, how you spend, how you invest, how you save, all that good stuff. And your behaviors around money are going to create your financial reality. So we got to look at the core money blocks. Number one, right? I actually wrote about this in my newsletter, how to unpack all of this really clearly from the beginning. But then the other side that we want to look at too is that once you start unpacking all these money blocks, what you do with money subconsciously, then we got to look at also, you know, creating money emotional intelligence, right? This is where we feel neutral around money because money is really just a tool. And we hear that all the time, right? Money is just a tool, right? It's just a tool that you can leverage so that you can generate more, right? But a lot of the time, again, when people, for example, I'm sure you've seen it, people wanting to invest with you, but they're terrified, right? A lot of scarcity comes through, like, what if I don't make the money back? Or what if, you know, because there's a root belief that money won't come back, that it will run out, right? And the truth is money is generated, it's printed every single day. People are
it's everywhere.
People are buying everywhere. Everywhere, every second there's a transaction, money flying all over the world. But there's this belief, right, that it's going to run out, or that there isn't enough, right? There's that scarcity there. So when we can start to neutralize, right, reprogram, again, all of the pain and consequence around money, so that when we see numbers in the bank account, it doesn't send you into a spiral. When you see the big numbers, you don't make it mean something about, can you deliver the value, and the imposter syndrome comes up. When you are in the sales call doing the high ticket, you're not trying to, you know, figure out, like, can they afford it, and in your head about creating the sale when you're not even really being present to really helping them, right? Which will actually close the sale, right? So there's all kinds of ways, or, you know, especially when you're moving into bigger expansions, 6- and 7-figure contracts, you know, can you actually show up, and are you capable of that expansion, right? And when you don't make the numbers mean anything anymore, and you just get clear on making a very, again, high quality, clear decision from a calm place, you're going to make the best decisions for your business. Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. Right? Definitely.
But money and scarcity always hold people back. And that's one thing that, you know, really needs to be programmed, so that you can, again, move yourself faster. Because as an entrepreneur, the biggest things that you're going to do, you got to have the emotional intelligence to be making high quality decisions and executing consistently. That's what accelerates that, you know, scaling and growth.
Talking about emotional intelligence with money, what would be one of the first steps for us to be empowered to understand money and take back the control?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is, first, you have to create awareness around, like, what the stories are, right? So go back to childhood, mother, father, grandparents, whoever your primary caregivers were, even society, right? And what are
the stories? Can I ask you what your story is?
Yeah, of course. My parents were extremely frugal. They would always say, like, save everything and never spend money on, like, anything that wasn't, like, necessary, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't save, you're going to end up on the streets. Never have credit card debt, okay? Never do that. It's going to end your life. Try and marry rich, right? That was another one, you know, marry someone rich. Because they, you know, they basically were like, we don't really believe in you, like, marry someone rich.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like yourself. And it obviously came from a place of their scarcity, right? And it's generational. But the big thing here too is that, you know, for me, I always, they were like, if you make 6 figures, it's like, you're set for life, you know, all those things. And, you know, growing up, I had a really great job right before entrepreneurship. You know, I saved everything. I created my RSPs. I was making just under 6 figures a year. But in my mind, I had created this story that $100,000 was like winning the lottery. And I would see all these jobs, but I would never apply for them, because in my mind, I was like, well, that's just out of reach, because it's like winning the lottery. So I never applied.
It's too good.
For what reason? It's too good, right? And, you know, and I also, like, generated that in my first year of coaching, right? And it just happened, obviously, through hard work and all those good things. But I never believed it was really possible. So I never created the opportunity. The other thing too was credit card debt. That was a huge thing that I was so afraid of. I, like, paid on the day, down to the dollar. I never missed a payment. And that's good to do. Okay. Like, that's a good thing to do. But it would have really held me back, because when I started this business, right before, I had invested all of my life savings into a studio, and then a fitness studio. And then we went into a lockdown, right? 17 months with the pandemic. And I was like, oh my God, what did I just do? At the time, I had not had a spiritual awakening. I had no sense of identity or self. I was very insecure, very self-conscious, very scarce mindset. And I started doing the hypnosis work, which is how I got into it altogether. But at that point, I was like, okay, I'm broke. Okay. I have put all of my life savings into a business that is in lockdown, but I have a lot of really good credit. Okay. I have a lot of really good credit after all these years. And so I was like, okay, like, I, you know, kind of got the, like, download, like, do the hypnosis. It's what you're meant to be doing in this lifetime. Got certified with the last, like, $1,000 I had. And then I was like, okay, I don't know how to run a business. I see all these coaches. I got to hire people. And I put about, I think, like, I don't know, like, 60 or 70K on credit card debt. It's all paid off now.
Yeah, but I just went for it
because I believed that I was going to make it happen no matter what. But if I let that story hold me back, because I was like, oh my God, the interest rate, like 23%, like all that stuff, I would have never done it, right? So, you know, really get curious about your stories, the stories that were shown to you, and then take inventory. I'll share with like the link to my newsletter as well, but there's like a full breakdown on, you know, what to do in terms of like how to start taking inventory and look through the list and see what feels the most true. Right? Like which ones in your body are like, oh, like that still feels like something true. Or if it's a current behavior that you're doing actively today, right? And that's going to be the second thing too, taking inventory. Then we got to look at like the evidence of the opposite that is true, right? Because we got to like know that it's believable and possible somewhere else. And it's going to be 100%, right? Mm. You know,
but we need to be able to understand it and believe it.
Yes. And then the fourth is the reprogramming through deeper subconscious work and also just environment, like the people you surround yourself with, where those money stories just aren't really a thing. They don't really exist. And the more that you're surrounded with people where the belief around money is very empowering, is that it's very leverageable, that it's always available.
The conversations you have is just completely different. And it's just so empowering. Hey, also, thank you for sharing that story. I really wanted to ask you that because, you know, so often people listening to us right now can be like, oh, yeah, well, Kira and Jaya got their stuff sorted, but, you know, they didn't really. What about me? Like, I'm really struggling because of this and this. And when you shared that story, the interesting thing that I heard was you really had to let go of the person that you were to have this transformation to become the person that you are today. And I think so often you're talking about fear and stuff. It's really letting go of that. That is the hardest thing, you know, letting go of that identity, everything that you know, everything that you've been taught, and then you're creating a whole new way of thinking, which is incredible.
Yes. It's definitely a mindset makeover, to say the least, but it's required, right? And like you said, the identity is everything. You know, what you create in your life is just really a byproduct of how you see yourself, like what you believe that you're capable of doing and what you believe is available, right? If those two things are intact, you're moving forward. And as you mentioned, fear is the biggest thing that will hold us back. But usually the fear is not the fear that we think. It's a memorized fear, right? Again, the subconscious, it's like kind of like a knee-jerk reaction. Like you get a bad feedback from a client, or the client doesn't really follow through and sign up, or whatever it might be, or you lose the big contract negotiation and your body goes into fear right away. It's like this memorized feeling. But what you have to understand is that that fear is stemming from a thought, but the thought is so hardwired that we don't even have time for the thought to be processed. Just like thought happens and there's emotion and then we're suddenly in fight or flight, right? So when we can start creating the emotional intelligence, right? Creating a slowdown between the thought and the feeling, right? If a thought no longer has a feeling attached, right? We can dissociate that. This is where the emotional intelligence comes in. What I do with my clients, we create a different association, then there's no more fear, right? And fear will always exist at next levels. And we'll talk about those upper limits.
Of course, but you can actually look at it subjectively now. And to make a different decision. Does that story actually serve me today? And the funny thing is, whenever I do this, I always feel silly because I'm like, oh man, why am I even asking? That's such a silly thing to think, you know? But deep down, it's just what we do.
Yes, because it's silly because it's not actually happening right now.
And it's not actually true.
It's not actually true. Exactly. And so, you know, to your point as well, when we think about like a part of us dying, right? A part of us like let go of the past. What we also need to think about at upper limits, right? These are a specific type of mindset block. So we have core mindset subconscious blocks from childhood, hardwired from 0 to 7. But we also have these upper limits that I like to call roadblocks to money, right? Because we always think we're like, we want the money, we want the success, but the action needs to happen before we get there. And the things that prevent action are these upper limits where we kind of create like a glass ceiling of success or money for ourselves. And, you know, we spoke about it earlier. The three main ones are safety, sacrifice, and self-worth. So safety is pretty obvious. If we don't feel safe, we do not move forward. If you see a bear in front of you, you're not going to run towards it you're going to think about, what do I do next, right? Maybe run away, maybe freeze, whatever it might be.
And so everyone's going to have different safety thresholds as well.
Exactly. So when we think about entrepreneurship in specific, what I see around the clients that I work with, high performing, moving towards 7, 8, 9 figures, entrepreneurship is really difficult, right? It's often very isolating. Mental, emotional health is, and physical health can be on the fritz. You feel that nobody understands you. This is why it's important to join communities. I'm sure you have an amazing community. You've helped thousands of people that understand your journey. But even then, it's very lonely because it's only up to you to make this happen. And so that pressure on yourself, for some people, can feel too much. So they think, okay, well, you know, if I'm going to generate more success, then I might be even more isolated, more alone, more time away from friends and family. And it just may feel like too much. You're like, I don't want to feel this way anymore, right? So that's one big thing that I often see in safety. Also, if you didn't come from a lot, you start generating a lot of success, a lot of money, there's a lot of fear and judgment that you think that your family will judge you, that they won't accept you anymore. They, you know, like, who do you think you are, right? And so that's another pattern I've seen as well. And again, like, being a part of the tribe is like a baseline core need in the Maslow hierarchy. Like, it's like survival, right? And so that's number one, that will prevent you from wanting to move forward subconsciously. Again, like, consciously, you're like, I want more money and success. I want to be visible. I want to be famous, right? But there is a big part of you holding yourself back. The big next one is sacrifice. This one is huge. Like, success can be very expensive. Again, the growing pressure and responsibility. If you have a team, you're now responsible for their livelihood. If you've generated a certain level of success, sustaining that success and lifestyle for your family, right? It's on you. Looking at bigger numbers, especially if you have money mindset blocks around making mistakes with money, right? What if you lose it all? It'll be your fault that you screwed it all up, right? And so the growing pressure and responsibility, again, it's this like constant like mental and emotional burnout, and the pressure feels so high that you're like, well, if I create more success, if I create more money, there is going to be more of this. I'm already like, I'm capped out. I'm maxed, right? Like, can I handle this? So sacrifice is a big one too. And the last one, which is, it doesn't matter what level you're at, self-worth is one of the biggest blocks. Like, this is like probably the number one thing I see, even in millionaires. Okay. This is probably the thing. And, you know, it's the imposter syndrome. It's feeling like a fake or a fraud that, you know, like, did you really do this? Can you really do this again? Do you think you're good enough to be sitting at that next level? You're not that special. Right. And there's a lot of this negative self-talk that stems from childhood, where you're told that you weren't good enough or you were highly criticized and compared. It still lives with you, even though you've generated the success. You almost like can't believe it. Right. You still doubt yourself at a very high level. And this will keep you back from the opportunities that are required for networking and putting yourself out there and, you know, going after the podcast with like a million viewers or whatever it might be. Right. But talking yourself down from the next level that you know that you're capable of and that you actually are worthy and deserving of having. But again, that shift in self-worth needs to change, that self-perception, so that, again, the identity shift happens so that you actually go after it and make it happen, no matter the number of rejections that happen. So those are the three major upper limits that people often face when getting to their next level. And again, it's this feeling where kind of doing all the things, you know that it's close, but the biggest thing is that you're avoiding like the big needle moving actions that you know that
you're sabotaging yourself.
You're sabotaging yourself.
I see this all the time.
Confirmation.
Well, even on the last one that you just said, like, I see like the self-worth thing when I'm mentoring people, it's like their pricing straight away. You just see like their pricing and also how much they spend on things. They're like, I can't spend on this because I can't afford it. And over here, they're like, but I can't charge more because no one's going to pay it. And so if you're having a look at that in the middle, it's like, this is you saying that you don't have the value to charge
that
much.
It's always the value.
It's the self-worth. And then and then you don't deserve this. That's why you can't afford it. And so it's this really interesting push-pull thing right there.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, it links back to that validation where we feel that we have to be validated by some outside source to say that we can have it now, or that we're good enough now, or that we're worthy now, right? Or that we can do it. But no, that's actually an empowered choice for yourself. So again, like reprogramming that identity where it's available to you right now. You just have to be able to choose it and really like quiet the garbage out, right? Like really unlearn all the limitations placed on you by society and by your parents. And, you know, everyone did their best. But if you have something where you're like, well, I can't do that, or that's not me, or, you know, some sort of excuse, you'll justify anything. Okay. Our brains are very smart, right? It'll keep you in the comfort zone for as long as you will accept
it. It's strong.
It's very strong. But, you know, anything that you are creating, like you're like, oh, that's kind of a limitation, like you're creating a ceiling on, ask yourself, whose voice is that? Like, who says? Because it'll either be someone in your life, right? Mom, dad, grandma, whoever. And if you say that it's your voice, that also happens too, because it's so memorized that you think it's you, you think it's your identity. Then ask, where did I first learn that? Because you learned it somewhere, right? And that's then, again, going to link back to someone in childhood. And then you can understand, oh, like, that wasn't mine. All limiting beliefs are actually limiting decisions. At some point in our life, as a child, we unconsciously didn't even know we chose something to be real, right? We're not as good enough. We're not as pretty enough. We're not whatever it is. Like, you know, for example, this has nothing to do with business, but impacted my life and made me extremely insecure my entire life. But 6 years old on the playground, I had my whole life, I was very insecure. I always thought my Caucasian friends were more beautiful than me, more popular than me. Always got like all the cute boys. And I was like, nobody, I'm invisible. Like nobody wants to look at me. And, you know, that impacted me for almost 29 years, right? I didn't put myself out there. I was very like, you know, always like, you know, I had a pimple. I would never go out. Like it was crazy. And this linked back to a moment in childhood where I was on the playground and I was in a predominantly Caucasian neighborhood, upper middle class. And this child said, and, you know, he's a child, you know, we don't know anything better. You're just an ugly Chinese girl. And from that moment, I became really ashamed of my heritage. I became really ashamed of myself. And that lived with me for 29 years. One comment, right? From childhood. Now, I don't believe any of those things because I've reprogrammed all of that. But it's, you know, it's just, I wanted to give a really polarizing example how one small comment can really color and impact the way that you live and make decisions in your life.
Well, the incredible thing is too, is like you actually worked through that and now, you know, you see it and you know those beliefs, but so many people are living with that exact scenario and they've never questioned that scenario for themselves,
yes.
Which is just like, it's horrible.
It really, really is. And just know for anyone listening, whether it's entrepreneurship or just life, you're feeling any kind of anxiety or insecurity or anything where you're feeling less than, the only two reasons this exists is number one, we're not being present, right? So when we're not present in this moment, which is the only moment we have to live to make a decision, new choices for our future, we're worrying about the future, which we cannot predict. And we're projecting that based on like, we're making our best prediction based on our past, which is done and it's over, right? It gives us good data, but the past is not an indication of our future. So we're basically worrying about something that has not yet happened. So, you know, when we talk about like, oh, why are we worrying? Like there's nothing to actually worry about, right? So when we can learn to be present, we eliminate a lot of the worry and anxiety because again, we're worrying about something that is number one, out of our control, but number two, it's not happening. It's not real.
It doesn't even exist.
Doesn't even exist, right?
Yeah.
And then on the other side of things, you know, the only other reason is that we're still seeking approval of others, friends, family, clients, the internet people, you know, whatever it is, wanting to feel validated and good enough. So when you can understand that, you know, reprogram validation cycles and also get out of survival states, then we're in this, you know, elevated way of being, new identity, very peaceful, happy state, you know, like you said, an earmarker for very successful people before it's even arrived, because, you know, you're in a place of calm, you know that you're capable, you know that you can do it. You don't need all of these outside markers to tell you that you can. You just know that you will, and you will make it happen. Absolutely.
Yeah, I really think like a practical thing for the listeners to do as well, and I think this is a huge one for, you know, everyone, is you need to really dig deep in and see if there's a voice that you're listening to subconsciously. And, you know, yes. It's like out there on social media, this is a big one. It's like they put it out on social media and they're like, oh, if my friend sees it, I might be embarrassed. Or like, I hope they don't see it, or hopefully they don't write to me, or hopefully, you know, and there's always something like that. Or like you're saying, like with money, usually it's not like your whole family. It's like there's one or two people or someone that's giving you some advice and you're going and doing the opposite. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking about that person and that validation from a person, which may not have the results that you want or may not be doing the things that you want to be doing. But then we condense ourselves down to follow their advice. And I'd say also another thing that I find that's just such a shame is when it's not their own fear that holds them back, it's someone else's fear. And I see this all the time. I'm like, why don't you go and start that podcast? You know, and they go, well, my friend started one and he said it was really bad and he got some online hate and, you know, my friend did this and this. And I'm like, so right now you're basing your whole worldview on your friend's negative experience. So your fear is your friend's fear, not actually your fear. You know, and so with making money, it's the same thing. I've got friends that tell me, it's like, I had a friend, he completely changed after he made some money. Money makes you evil. It does this and that. And so I'm going to stay poor for the rest of my life because of what my friend did. And I'm like, interesting. So you are now going to base your whole life and viewpoint off the negative that your friend experienced, not what you experienced.
Absolutely. And, you know, even to that point, another story that comes to mind for me with my parents and debt, you know, debt is the end of the world. All the millionaires I know all have debt, right? Like they literally all have debt, leveraging all the money in the world to get richer, right? So it's like, again, there's always going to be another side to the story that may be limiting you and holding you back from what you want. And the thing is, when you get to higher levels of mindset and start learning the past and the things that are holding you back and learning new truths that are empowering and going to move you forward a lot faster, is that multiple truths can exist at one time, right? And when we can get into the process of practicing non-judgmental awareness around our thoughts, right? And again, questioning, where are these coming from?
Where did they come from?
Where did they, whose voice is that? Like, just say, who says, who's that, right? And, you know, that's going to be a really powerful place to start. I also am sharing a little tool. I think we're going to link it in the show notes too, but it's winwithkira.com/anxietyfree. And that's another tool that I use with my clients that based in NLP, but we basically activate the parasympathetic nervous system. So if you're feeling like you're in an anxiety spiral or in a heightened state or really worried about something, it takes like a couple minutes to do, and you'll find yourself feeling calm and relaxed again into that state so you can move on with your day. So that's another really great thing that you can do as well. But the big thing is, you know, really questioning where all of these beliefs are coming from, because only when we become aware can we start to make changes and new choices. And again, these choices and decisions that you make with that new level of awareness will allow you to change your life.
I think it's really important to also like really to listen to somebody. You got to validate like where the advice is coming from and do they have the results that you want? And so an example is like when I grew up, we grew up really poor, but my dad would always give me financial advice and money advice. And I, luckily enough, grew up pretty early and I like caught on pretty quick. But I'd be like, Dad, you've never had any money. Why are you like, what qualifies you to give me any advice at all? You know, so it's really interesting because I think so often we just we get advice from so many different people. I hear this all the time and they've never done anything, or they just don't, they're not living the life that you want. They're not having the abundance that you want to have in your life. So it's really important that we listen to the right people.
Absolutely. And to that point about abundance as well, right? You know, people think it's just about the money, but it's really the way that you color and view the world, like the lens in which you see the world. And more than just the money, it's understanding, like what we spoke about earlier, the fact that money is literally everywhere. you can make money doing anything, right?
But I say this all the time. I can look in your room right now, which I can see, and I'm like, that dresser, you bought that. Someone had to make that. Someone had to import, export it. Someone had to put some tax on it. Someone painted it. Someone sold the paint. Someone manufactured, like, just that one item. I'm like, man, there's so much money right there. It's crazy. There's money everywhere. In your room, it's just packed. Like, so
yes,
many things.
And your brain's ability to find it is going to be essential, right? So again, when we're less in those survival states, the capacity for your brain to actually look for opportunity is so much greater. And only when you can find the opportunity can you then execute and then get after it. And, you know, one of the best little stories is that there was a study done. I think it's like the gentleman who wrote The Luck Factor. And, you know, said,
I was going to share this story. Funny. Yeah.
Oh, really?
This
I love
so
that.
Good. This is so
We're
good.
So aligned. Yeah.
I literally was just getting out a note to like write that down.
I love it. And, you know, he said, who here thinks they're lucky? And, you know, some of the participants said like, I'm lucky. And then who thinks they're not lucky? And, you know, the other participants put up their hand, and then he put like $100 on the street, right? And most of the people who said that they were lucky found the money.
Found it right away.
Found it right away. And then most of the people that didn't. And why is that, right? How do you generate luck? And, you know, this is really closely tied to abundant mindset, but it's the fact that, you know, when people feel that they're unlucky, they're focused on all the wrong things, like brooding in negativity, looking at what's not going right? How is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? Whereas people who believe they're lucky, they don't, you know, like sometimes those states will happen because we're human, but most of their states are like, where's the opportunity? When is it, like, you know, like feeling as though things are going to happen. So your brain is actually dialed to look for these things more frequently.
Where's the opportunity? That's what they're looking for. And then they find it. And with that money analogy, they literally asked some of those people that walked over and they said, well, didn't you see the money? And they would say like, oh, I've seen it, but I thought it wasn't for me. Like it just, you know, so it was like not even conditioned in their brain. It's like, oh, someone must have just left it there. Or it's just, I don't know. It's just not for me. I'm unlucky. And so
Absolutely. It
is true. You are unlucky.
And the thing is, and we create that based on our self-perception, our beliefs. And the thing is, your opportunities are just as available to you as to others. No one's better or worse than you. Yes, some people might start off in more favorable conditions, but who cares? What are you going to do about that now, right?
Yeah.
Take ownership and charge of your life and start creating now from where you are. You'll get there.
I also love that you said that it's so there's multiple truths. And I think this is really, really important because if you said to me, for instance, like, Jai, I could never be a millionaire, I can say that's true. It is true for you, but it's not true for me because I got a different truth to your truth because it's, you know, it's conditioning and it's a mindset and everything else. And so it's really important to understand when someone tells you that it's really hard to make money, like you got to understand that is their truth and it is true and it's going to be hard for them to make money forever, but it doesn't need to be your truth and you can create a whole new truth and a whole new pattern. And if you can coexist with everybody's truths, and so when you getting information in and people are telling you things, it's really easy to understand that that is their truth. They are unlucky. They didn't see the $100. They will never be a millionaire. They'll never, it is hard to buy property. The market is going bad. It is a recession. It's a bad economy. When someone says like, Jai, it's a bad economy, that's true. It is for you. It really is. For me, it's not though. You know, I've got a different truth. Like my economy is great because I look after my economy. I'm not looking at the world economy. I'm looking after my economy.
Absolutely. And that's always going to be a really good indicator for the subconscious work, for mindset work really shifting for you when you can start to recognize. It's kind of like a little clue where you're like, oh, I realize that's true and that's true. And even though this is all one scenario, I don't feel emotionally charged to any of these truths, but I can see multiple perspectives at one time. It's a really good sign that the mindset, your level of consciousness, everything's expanding, which is definitely where you want to be moving towards for sure.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been working towards for a long time. And I think so often, like even just sort of just to wrap all this up, like a lot of the times just to get started with our money mindset and everything is having the conversation with people. And, you know, and I think there's like so much gatekeeping. We think it's wrong. I still talk to people and they go like, I'd rather talk about sex than money. Like, I'd rather
talk
about
anything. Yeah, it's like very taboo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it's rude. Someone told me the other day, it's rude to talk about money. And I was like, what's so rude about it? Like, why is that? You know, and so their level of making money is going to be really, it's just so low because they're not even in the space where they allow themselves to actually speak freely about the things that they don't understand. And I understand, it's like you're saying, it's like the shame, there's guilt. We don't understand it. I don't want anyone to know that I don't know about money. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to feel like that or be seen like that. Or another example is like my mum is terrible with money. And then she gets ripped off all the time by telemarketers and people ring her up, and then she ends up, like, you know, giving out money. But she would rather not talk about it than to share it with me so I can help her fix it. So she's like, it costs me less to be in denial than it does to lose the money. Like, let's just leave it at that. And it's interesting, like, we really need to have the conversation and be open about it. It doesn't need to be scary.
Yes. The goal with money mindset is not chanting affirmations. The goal with money mindset is allowing numbers to feel neutral, because they're just numbers. Yeah. And the more that they feel neutral, the more empowered choices you will make to change your financial reality. And another little, you know, hint for anyone listening that this may be newer, or you're wondering where the blocks are. If you feel as though something keeps happening to you with money, just like you said with your mother, that old pattern, if you're always getting ripped off, you're always feeling, you know, guilt, or you're overspending, these are subconscious patterns where it's like it's so automatic that you don't even think about the behavior. Mm. You know, it's like driving in like a car for the first time. Like the first time you're like checking the lights, the seatbelt, like, you know, all the things, right? The blind spot. But now you're just like leaving the house, like rushing off to this
place. Can't even remember how it got there. Yeah.
Exactly, right? So we're looking at those like automatic behaviors with money. You know, if you like are about to press like, you know, pay on the internet, and then you start to feel fear, like, why is that, right? So taking a look at those patterns and also looking at into those emotional negative states that may happen around money. These are really good clues.
You'll also just start noticing and like picking up other people's clues too. So just look around and see how other people react when you're going to pay for the bill. For instance, if you're at a restaurant, or you're giving a little bit extra tip, or you signed up to something and then you told your friend about it. You know, like I remember I signed up to a course and it was $10,000, and I told my best friend, and he was like, I don't think we can be friends anymore. I can't believe you just wasted all this money, you know? And so then all his stuff's coming up. And so I feel like with our emotional intelligence of money is actually just start taking notice of the conversations and the way that people react when it comes to the transaction, or even just speaking about money, because it's going to give you a lot of telltales.
Absolutely. And remember, we want money to feel good because you want a lot more of it.
Exactly. Kira, so let's finish up. Where can we find you? I'm going to put all the links I know that you mentioned today. You talk about your newsletter and stuff like that in the show notes down below. But can we find you on social media as well?
Yeah. So on social media, it's just at I am Kira Yang. So that's K-Y-R-A-Y-A-N-G. I'm predominantly on Twitter. I love it there. So cool. If you like to read, I love being on Twitter. And the easiest place to just find me just in terms of connecting is just winwithkira.com/worktogether.
Awesome. And I just want to say thank you for showing up, and thank you for putting out some really cool reels and things like that, because I think it just helps so many people. And I love seeing more people sharing openly about money mindset and everything else. So you're making waves, and I really appreciate it.